Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things. We don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains, and it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook and also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also our website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves. As we are women, we are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show, Alternative Medicine and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here on Sedona Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and we are also archived on iTunes. It's a pleasure to have you with us throughout this Health Blast 2015. We have over 45 different types of guests. We have everything from spirituality, health and wellness. We talk about, did you write your will? Or we also talk about growing older, you know, is it time to retire those stilettos? And my answer to that is you never retire your stilettos. All you do is you just sit down, you put your feet up, and you take a picture of them. So we will. That's my take on that. So if everybody can remember that, that's the type of topics we talk about in Health Blast 2015. It's about having fun in your life. It's not all about saying, I have to do this. My parents told me that. What I used to do is what I'm still doing. That's what I was made to do, or that's what I was bred to do. You know, life has really changed in the past 2 decades, and it's really important to understand that we do have a choice in life. There's a lot of choices of free will. And really, what we get out of life is really what we put into it. Now, I'll tell you, we have always said this on this show, is that maybe a decade or two ago, we would have never said something like this on the radio. And if you look at the 60s and the 70s, and if you talked about awakening or knowing or maybe creating a life, you know, a purpose, they'd be like, do you have 10 heads? You're nuts, you know? And that's really important to focus on, because I think we as human beings have really come a long way. We've said, you know, I understand that maybe I went to school to do, like me, I went to school to be a dental hygienist. But, you know, after 30 years of that, I had had enough. I needed to find out something different to do. And it's really all about looking into yourself, excuse me, and seeing really where you would like to go forward. So today my guest is Chris Atwood. His book is Your Hidden Riches. And then you wonder, what is he really talking about? So, Chris, welcome to the show. And excuse me, I have to get a drink of water.
Sure. Thanks so much, Dr. Jeanette. It's great to be here.
So, Chris, don't you think a lot of times, you know, the world has really changed in the past decade?
Absolutely. And if we're just talking about the decade, you know, it's changed dramatically. Our first New York Times bestselling book, The Passion Test, so The Effortless Path to Discovering Your Life Purpose,
right.
The e-book version of that was published in 2004. So that was 10 years ago this year. And then it was self-published in 2005, and then in 2007 was published in hardcover by Penguin Books. And in this last decade, we have traveled all around the world and talked with people in every walk of life and talked to them about how do you discover your passions, how do you connect with your purpose. And what we've seen is that topic is one that is today is considered commonplace. Of course you'd ask that question, many
right.
people would say, and a decade ago that wasn't the case. And
right.
We've been fortunate enough over the last decade to have seen the Passion Test be featured in O Magazine, Success Magazine, in radio interviews, TV interviews all over the world. And with today, with 1,400 facilitators in more than 50 countries, the Passion Test has really become the number one tool for discovering passion and connecting with purpose. But the thing that people were always asking us after they complete this simple but very powerful process for getting clear on what really matters to you in your life and then how do you align your life with that, they'd say, but how do I make this real? How do I,
right.
you know, how do I pay the bills? How do I meet my responsibilities? How do I do what I'm supposed to do and follow my passions at the same time? And there are, of course, many answers to that question. But when we looked into ourselves and into what had led to our success and what had worked for us, what we realized is that it was rituals that allowed us to be able to meet the challenges of life when times when we get thrown down and feel like, oh my God, is everything going to be okay or not? The rituals in our lives allowed us to be able to move through those things with a certain grace, to be able to get ourselves back up and continue much more quickly than we'd see many other people are doing. And so that's why we wrote Your Hidden Riches, the subtitle being Unleashing the Power of Ritual to Create a Life of Meaning and Purpose. And what we've realized over these years is that rituals make things real. So if there's something you want in your life, something you want to create in your life, if you want to live your passions, then create rituals around that, and that will make them real.
Don't you think so, Al, when we say about rituals? I grew up in the 50s and the 60s, and we had things, let's use for an example, we were Catholic, and we went to church every Sunday, and we made sure that we went to confession every Friday. So that's sort of what we would say, how we grew up, and it was just the way it was. But then what I look at that is over the decades, you've kind of challenged that. Oh, hey, you have kids, and you say, man, I'm not dragging kids to church. You know, that's a pain in the neck. I'm not going to do that. Yeah. But then your kids start to go to communion. You say, okay, well, then I'll start coming back. And then you get a little bit older, and you say, well, then they want to get married in the church. And so you start thinking about that. Then you have some friends that are, you know, not doing well, and some people may pass away in your family. And then you start thinking about life and death. So really, these rituals that you say are also what gets challenged along the way. But it also, that's really what I see as a hidden really source of something super great, because what I see is either it'll make or break. In other words, you'll go through all these decades with all these changes and you'll say, you know, that just doesn't fit with me anymore. Or, man, I'm really glad I had that to hold on to and look how deeper I went into it. So we grow up and we learn how to know more about something. Know more about how we should celebrate life, know more about our religion or our beliefs or what our morals and our compass, our life compass has on. And it takes a lot of these hits to be able to change and say, is this a do or die? Is this something I really want to, you know, engage in? Or, hey, am I done with this type of game and I can close the book and, you know, go on to what I really believe in?
Yeah. Well, you know, you bring up such an important point, because what we say in Your Hidden Riches is that rituals don't only make things real, but
right.
they only make them real. They're only useful and valuable if they have meaning for you personally. And I would say you're fortunate, Dr. Jeanette, because, you know, it sounds like you took the religious rituals of your youth and then they've
mm-hmm.
adapted as your life has gone on. There are some people who they grew up with rituals that they were, as you said, dragged along by their
right.
by their parents or their family, but they didn't have any personal meaning for those people, and
mm-hmm.
so they rejected those rituals altogether. And I think this is one of the big challenges that we face today in American society is we're looking at a society where the use of antidepressants has increased 400 times since the mid-80s, that a third of the U.S. population is obese, that teen suicide is the third leading cause of death among teenagers. And those are all expressions of the fact that many, many people are deeply unhappy these days.
Right.
And why is it they're unhappy? It's they're unhappy because they've gotten disconnected from meaning, purpose, value in their lives. And in many cases, that has been partially, at least, the result of their rejecting the rituals that didn't have meaning for them when they were young. And so if those who are listening take anything away from this interview, I would say, what's most important when you think about ritual is that rituals have to have personal meaning for you. We're not talking about, you know, that you're dragged along to a Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner and it's supposed to be a great celebration, but you can, as a kid, you know, you feel all the adults are angry with each other and not talking to each other, or if they are talking, they're screaming at each other, and it doesn't feel like much of a celebration and you don't want to be there, right?
Right.
What kid wouldn't reject those sorts of rituals? They seem hypocritical. And so as we're adults, as the purpose of our book is really to reframe the whole concept of ritual. And in the book, we talk about everyday ritual and ceremonial rituals. And religious rituals typically fall into the ceremonial category. And when I talk to people about rituals in interviews like this, I like to focus on everyday rituals. The ceremonial rituals are very important and valuable, and they connect us to ourselves. But everyday rituals are a great place to start, because everyday rituals they're not another thing to add to your to-do list. They're not; they don't have to take a lot of time, but they're simple things you can do to begin living a conscious, intentional life. And this really comes down to how we define ritual, because you use the word ritual, and people have all sorts of concepts about what that is. And when I'm talking about everyday rituals, I'm not talking about religious practices, although, as we've been talking about, there's beautiful religious rituals in the traditions of cultures all around the world. We're also not talking about superstition, and we're not talking about habits. We all have good and bad habits, those things that develop unconsciously in our lives. But when we talk of ritual, what we mean is are conscious, intentional practices you choose to make habitual, you choose to do them again and again, because they improve your life. And if I could, I'd love to give you a couple of examples. Is that all
right? Sure. And, you know, I think that rituals is really what keeps us sustaining through life, though, too, because we on the show have always focused on a lot of over 50. And we say, you know, people are really set in their ways. Everybody uses that word, set in their ways. You know, they have to make sure they have a cooked meal for lunch at home, or they have to make sure that dinner is at 5 or 6. But that is their ritual, and that is who they are and what they do, because it kind of sets the tone for their day. And I think that's so important to know about setting the tone. We've spoken also on this show before about I say the best way to have wellness is to have gratitude. And in the morning, open your eyes, stand up on the, you know, stand on the floor, put your feet to the floor and your arms to the air, and be thankful for being there, because, you know, you didn't get dropped from the stork, you know, and so many people just don't listen, you know. It's, in other words, you got to be connected to something. Why did you open your eyes today? Why did you breathe in? Why did you stand up? I mean, how I guess sometimes we like to say, people say, oh, they dismiss it so much, and it's like you can't dismiss it. It's almost like you just can't. So having all of these simple rituals and then being able to give it value and really being able to give it the honor and the respect it's due is what's so important.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that rituals like you were describing of having a set time for meals each day and so forth, it provides a sense of stability and regularity in life.
Yeah.
And those things are really important, particularly when you're going through challenging times, you know, when things are rough and difficult. That by creating what we call foundation rituals, which is kind of a certain regularity in your daily life and schedule, what you do is you create a rhythm to your life. And if you think about rhythm in music, you listen to a beautiful piece of music, and it has a rhythm, it has a meter, and that rhythm carries you through the music, even though sometimes the music may be quiet and gentle and other times it may be loud and stormy. But that rhythm is what carries you through that piece of music, which would, it's what ties those different elements together. And rituals, daily rituals, like what you were describing, Dr. Jeanette, is this provides a rhythm to life that allows you to carry through the gentle, wonderful times in your life as well as the stormy and difficult times, and be able to have a sense of continuity as you're moving through those different phases of life. And you know, there, you were describing getting up in your morning, getting up in the morning and putting your feet to the ground and arms to the air and saying what you're grateful for. And that itself is a simple but powerful everyday ritual. It reminds me of Benjamin Franklin's daily ritual, that he would get up in the morning and he'd say to himself, "What good will I do today?" And then at the end of the day, he would ask himself, "What good did I do today?"
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I know, he did this ritual most of his life. When you look at the amount of good that man did in the world, which was pretty astounding, it says a lot about the power of such a simple ritual.
And I think sometimes when we ask those things in the morning and at night, it really makes a change in your world, because sometimes you'll say nothing, you know, especially when you get started in the process. People are like, you know, I don't know. My daughter even said to me one day, I was staying with her, and she's 23, and she says, "What was the top and what was the pit of your day?" And I was like, "What?" She said, "Well, what was the best part? What was the not-so-nice part?" And the pit was like maybe, "Oh, man, it snowed all day." Or the top could be, you know, we helped, she works in the ER, she said, we helped a lady deliver her baby, and they were fine. So each day she does this all the time, and I'm thinking, my gosh, do you realize how many people have never even thought that that was something that was important to do? Yet here's the younger children actually bringing it in with their own consciousness already. I think we in our 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, and 70s potentially have all lost that we really didn't. We've been running so fast and so hard, you know. Let me know when you hit the wall, and then maybe I'll see if I could pick it up again, you know. And I think that's really where we've all run.
Yes. Well, we have grown up in this kind of achievement-oriented culture where the dominant principle seems to be the harder I work, the longer I work, the more I'll be able to get ahead. And the truth is it's just not true.
Right.
What we end up with is with heart attacks and burnouts, you know. And when it comes to families, rituals are incredibly important in families. I started rather late in life. And I'm fortunate enough to have a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old, and an 8-month-old at home. And our 6-year-old just started school. And our family is filled, our daily schedule is filled with rituals, thanks to having written this book and learned the value of it. Among other things, the research that has found that families that maintain consistent rituals, daily rituals over 5 years or longer, that the children, when they get older, actually score higher on standardized tests. They are less likely to suffer from mental and emotional problems, and they
But they can also remember things and take that going forth with their own families, right? I really think that's vitally important.
Yes, absolutely they can. But for with children, there is this kind of stability and reliability that rituals provide, something that they can depend on. You know, when my 6-year-old started school this fall, and when my wife or I take her to school, she has her rituals that we do with her on the way. She has her open eyes meditation, her word of wisdom. We play the gratitude game or the appreciation game. But when we get to school, I love this one, we'll ask her, "Honey, what are you going to create today?" And she'll set 3 intentions for her day. And then at nighttime, as part of our bedtime ritual, we'll say, "Well, what did you create today?" And she'll go through, and for every intention that came true, she gets 5 kisses. And she loves that, and we love that, and it's a great way to end the day.
Well, I will tell you, Chris, You have started in a different decade with your kids because, you know, my kids were born in, let's see, 80s and early 90s, and that was not what we did with our kids then. Mostly it was, how fast can you hurry up because I got to get to work and daycare is waiting, you know? And
yeah.
With four kids, it was, I was going to four different schools, four different daycares,
wow.
You know, and single parent, and plus going to school and working. And it was like, are you really kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, I had to worry enough that if everybody was just playing in the car at one time, you know? And I think that's true to know also is that we now in our 60s and 70s, I'm almost 60, is that we now are seeing this with the younger kids, what you're explaining, you know, with our kids and stuff. And it's important to know that they are doing it because they have value in it, and they came in knowing that value.
Yeah.
And they may have gotten
it
from watching us.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say it gets reinforced. You know,
right.
I'm in the U.S. right now with the launch of our book. My family and I live mainly in Germany because my wife is German. And I was talking with my wife this last week, and she told me that she took Sophie, our six-year-old, to school and asked her for her intentions for the day. It was a rainy, overcast day. And Sophie, in her six-year-old innocence, says, well, I'd like it to be a sunny day, and I want to see a rainbow today. And then she went running off to school, right? Now, my wife internally is thinking, oh, my God, you know, the weather forecast is supposed to rain all day. It's probably not going to happen. It was a nice intention, sweetheart, but, you know, it's not going to happen. So then this is what we adults do, right?
That's
and
true.
So then my wife goes home. About a half an hour later, the clouds part. The sun comes out. It's a beautiful day. She goes and picks up Sophie, and she says, Sophie, look what you created today. And Sophie, of course, by this time had completely forgotten that she'd set that intention. And so she was overjoyed. Oh, my God, look at that.
Right.
And then she went home. She was playing with her friend in the backyard, and this amazing rainbow comes in the sky. My wife was so blown away by it, she took a picture and sent it to me.
Oh, gosh. And that's definitely different.
Yeah, it's a different experience of life, you know. And and what I know is that the truth is, whether that intention had come true or not,
It
would have been an opportunity for our daughter to learn about herself and about her ability to consciously choose what she experiences in her life. And that's really the purpose of that ritual for us.
And I think so, too. We have to really honor the people in the decades of life in which they were brought up in and where they are now as to what their rituals are. You know, my grandmother, I can remember, she lived till she was 99, and her ritual was from 1 until 4 every afternoon. She sat on the back patio in her swing chair and just watch the birds, watch the flowers, watch the grass grow, you know, and that's what we did all the time. And I came to really enjoy that. And then eventually over time after she passed, I was thinking back, why does she do that? And then I remembered that her house was less than a half a block. Well, in real terms, that's only like four houses down. Now, these are small lots, too, okay? So maybe I don't know how much you could explain it, but it's real close. But anyway, it was a big factory. And she and all the other women used to work in that factory. But then when she had stopped working, she would wait at 4 o'clock, and she would hear that they were getting done. And then she would go and she would make dinner before her husband got home at 5 o'clock. You see, so women and people in these decades, you really have to understand the entire story to be able to know what they're doing. But if you're then a grandchild who comes along and says, well, in the afternoon, we have to go do this, we have to go do that, understand why when those people will say, no, I'm not going to do that, that's where they're coming from. Or they may feel uneasy, or they may feel not comfortable in what you're doing. And it has nothing to do with you all the time. It just has to do with what they value and what they believe in life. So really, your book is super great because what it does is it brings it out for each person. But as you find it for yourself, then you can start exploring it in others and understanding them, which is so important because we walk around and we keep spewing our beliefs and our rituals and our ideas on everybody else, assuming that it's theirs too.
Of course. And, you know, when you look at cultures around the world, one of the great values of ritual has been to bring families and communities together.
Mm-hmm.
That rituals can serve that purpose of being able to connect us and allow us to appreciate the value of these different generations and the different contributions that each member of the family or the community makes. In fact, when we were writing the book, we were interviewing a woman from Nigeria who was raised in the Yoruban tradition, and she told us these amazing rituals. As she was growing up, her life was filled with rituals, but there was one that had a really significant impact on me, and that was she was describing the time when she was going to become a woman and before she was beginning menstruation. And she said for about a year before that happened, before she had her first period, that the elder women of the village would meet with her. And they would talk to her about what was going to happen and what its meaning was. They would describe for her that she was a woman, and as a woman, she had a very precious role to play in the world, that that no man could be born, could be given life, except through the womb of a woman, and that she was really a co-creator of life. And so when the time came that she actually started her first period, she was so excited. This was such a thrilling, exciting moment for her. She ran in and told her mom. Her mom was all excited, went out and got all the women of the village. They made this big feast and great celebration. They dressed her up in white and honored her. She sat with the elder women again, and they reconnected her to her ancestral tradition. And she said that rituals like that during her growing up years gave her a sense of self-worth and beauty that has never left her. This woman went to Oxford University and now lives in Los Angeles. We were talking with her, and she said that, I've traveled all over the world, and yet I see people in America who seem to think so little of themselves, and I feel so fortunate to have grown up in this environment where I've always known that I was beautiful, that I had an important and necessary and significant role to play in the world, that I was here for a purpose. And I think that some of these ancient cultures have much to teach us in our modern world, because my experience with most girls who are in at that phase of life, that oftentimes the parents, the mothers, don't even talk to them about it. This change of in their body is something to be embarrassed about, not something to be celebrated. And so one of the things that we tried to do in Your Hidden Riches in the book is to bring out some of these traditions and how valuable they can be, both for adults and also particularly for young people as they're growing up.
Well, I think so, too. We as humans over the decades have accumulated a lot of baggage and really have not been focused on getting rid of it. In other words, we keep carrying it as if it's a staff of our generations, you know, like that coat of arms thing, that we're just supposed to keep carrying it. So if you look at generations, we could say great-grandmothers, well, they were poor and they were ancestors and they came over to America, blah, blah. Then we look at it again, oh, well, then they went through the war. Then we look at it again, oh, well, they were victims of violence or domestic violence or sexual violence because women weren't speaking out. And then we look a little bit farther, then we say, oh, well, they tried to keep up with the Joneses and they couldn't do that. So really, by the time, you know, these kids are born, they've really got all of that baggage of all of that history just not really put upon them, but they hear it, they know it, they sense it. And then if you were expecting a woman to speak to a child, you got to believe she's telling the story as if it's playing out in all of those history books instead of helping the child write their own book, which is so, I think, really the key of your book is really they need to be writing their own. You need to write your own book. You need to stop writing your book based on the past or the ancestral whatever that you're carrying.
Well, and one of the main themes of Your Hidden Riches is that every one of us is born with a unique design for our life. And in fact, our job when we take birth here is to figure out what that life design is and get aligned with it. But it's kind of like we got dropped into this giant jigsaw puzzle. And as we're growing up, we're given all these puzzle pieces, you know. But someone forgot to give us the box top that shows what the finished puzzle is supposed to look like.
Right, right.
And so it's like, we have all these pieces, but we don't know how they fit together, and we don't know how to make that life. And so if we think of this metaphor of life as a river, most people seem to spend a lot of their life crashing up against the banks of the river, up against the rocks mm-hmm. and the boulders, and getting bloodied and battered and caught in the branches and the brambles. And life is hard. It's a struggle. It's a strain. It's difficult. Mm-hmm. And the reason that that's the case is because the way life is designed is that when we're off the path of the unique design of our life, then life becomes more and more and more difficult. That's life's way of telling us, look, something needs adjustment. Something needs to be changed. It's like we weren't given the box stop for the puzzle, but we are given feedback all the time. And rituals are really a way of taking the boat of your life and helping to move it into the center of that river, so that now life feels like a flow. Now there are challenges still that come up, but instead of being overwhelming and disastrous, there are things that create richness to life, that we're able to move through them gracefully, to be able to recover from them more quickly. And then life becomes this amazing adventure. You can hardly wait to see what's coming around the next bend, because it's exciting. And that's the way life was meant to be lived. But I think one of the reasons we wrote this book is because in our modern age, our modern day, we as a society, in Western society in particular, have gotten so disconnected from the powerful role and value of ritual in creating that movement into the flow of life, that so many people today are struggling. And our hope is that the book will help give them a way to both reframe ritual, as you were saying, Dr. Jeanette, to, mm-hmm. to create rituals that are meaningful and valuable, to be able to design them around their own nature rather than taking them from someone else or feeling that they're obligatory or this is what they're supposed to do or should do. But right. to recognize that rituals are for the purpose of making life rich, and it becomes rich when you design rituals that are important, that are valuable to you. And I one fun example I just have to share, because it's something you would never guess, I think. You know, we've all heard of Simon Cowell, right? Simon Cowell, star of American Idol, Britain's Got Talent, a multimillionaire producer. I think most people would say, and you tell me, Dr. Jeanette, if this is sort of your perception of him, but this is a guy who's like practically an ogre, you know? He never has hardly anything good to say about anyone, it seems, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And yet, you know what his daily ritual is? Hmm. Every day he gets up and he climbs a tree.
Oh, really?
And you might think, well, that's crazy. Why would he do something like that? And yet I think it gives us a little peek into that this man is more than his appearance on the reality TV shows. That there's no doubt that he likes the exercise of it, but there are lots of ways to get exercise. There's no doubt that it's valuable to get fresh air, but there's lots of ways to get fresh air. Mm-hmm. But my guess is that there are a few times in his day when he has the chance to just feel free like a kid, where there's no phones, there's no emails, there's no texts, there's no computers, that he can just feel connected, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so that's an example of a ritual that has meaning to you, to him rather. But what I love about this example is that rituals, the value of rituals is not that they make sense to anyone else, not that anyone else thinks that they're useful or valuable. The importance is that they're meaningful and valuable to you, no matter how they appear to anyone else. And I think that's the point of what you were saying, is that the aim of our book is to help people realize that we each have our own unique expression of life, and that our opportunity here is to be able to design, use these tools, age-old, time-tested, and today scientifically verified tools, which we call rituals, to be able to create richness in our life.
You know, there's an interesting thing that I'll share. Also, I know in our family, we always have this one for Thanksgiving, is we make this Polish stuffing. And it's made with potatoes, onions, milk, and Greece, and I mean Greece. And anybody that ever, I mean, that is just, you know the white can of that Greece,
yes,
that kind.
Yes.
But anyway, but we always would laugh about it every year, and then we all thought back one time, and that was really because most of our ancestors were very, 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 very poor in Poland and Lithuanian, and when they came over here, that was really all they could afford is the potatoes and the onions they had in the backyard.
Right.
And that's so, but we've always kept it, even though we're all healthy eaters now and everything, and we've always kept that one stuffing. I mean, we make it every year, and everybody laughs about it. How much degrees did you put in it, you know? And it was so funny because my kids, you know, as they grew up, would say things like, "Mom, what did you forget to put in it this year?" Sometimes, you know, when you don't pay attention, you miss something. But anyway,
right.
one year... came out of one of the relatives, I don't remember if it was my kids or someone else, they said, "Oh my gosh, the Polish ghosts must have been in the house because I turned on the oven and the oven broke, or I forgot a main ingredient and we had to throw it away." But we all laughed about it, you know, because you know how we complain about it, "Oh, we don't want to do it. Who wants to hand grate 15 pounds of potatoes, you know?"
Right.
But everybody sat down and does it, and then we get it done, and we say, "Okay, you know, that was my thing for this year, that, you know, we honored our relatives, you know." But as you're going forward, no one's ever in our family together at Thanksgiving. So that's our way, is we post on Facebook our picture of this greasy stuffing because we're not around relatives. So that was our connection.
Right.
So you have to think how simplistic and individualized this is and make it fit for yourself.
Well, and isn't it great that you have this tradition? I mean, you're healthy eaters, and you,
right.
I love what you said, that you're healthy eaters, and yet you eat this greasy stuff.
Yep.
Obviously, it's not going to kill you to eat it once.
Right.
And yet that ritual, that tradition that is being maintained, has provided a way for your family to stay connected even when you live far apart, even when you're not together on Thanksgiving. It's given you a source of pleasure and joy, of things to laugh about and to kid about, and a way of bringing you together. And that really, when it comes to families and communities, that's the purpose of ritual. It's for the purpose of allowing us to connect, allowing us to feel closer. And
yeah,
it's one of the most important and valuable features of life. And yet in our modern world, how many people, in spite of Facebook and Twitter and Google
mm-hmm.
Plus and LinkedIn and YouTube and everything else, feel so alone?
Oh, absolutely. And it brings,
you know,
it up, too, about looking at, that's almost like a reflection on where you've come from, because we all know and realize that this is a survival food, you know?
Yeah.
And you
right.
could say, "Well, I could put a prime rib on," and it's like, "Well, I'm not going to do that." And it's sort of like, no, get back to, you know, hey, they had to survive on this stuff, and so will you for a day, you know? And you just get into that spot,
right.
you know? And it's just
yeah.
like, "Oh, yeah, well, this is what we're doing. I know it's kind of weird," you know? When my kids bring over their spouses, it's like, sit down and eat it and don't say a word.
I love it. Well, and you know, the other thing that's wonderful about that particular ritual is that it provides you a way of reconnecting with, in some sense, the reason you're all there. You know, if those
right.
immigrants hadn't, you
right.
know, put that thing together and survived, some or all of you may never have been here, you know.
Hence the stork.
Yeah.
The stork did not drop you here.
That's right. So, you know, it's a great ritual that has
right.
has these many multifaceted benefits. And this I think is the key thing. You know, if all of
right.
you thought, "Well, this is a stupid, meaningless ritual and
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do it anymore." Well, then you wouldn't. And
right.
and even if you did do it, it would be just going through the motions, and it would no longer be making life more joyful. But because
yeah.
you have memories associated with it, because it's become such a fun and engaging kind of ritual in your family's life, that it enriches your life. And that comes back to what we were saying. How do we define rituals? Conscious, intentional practices we choose to repeat again and again because they improve our lives.
And then also taking that forward, you think about, okay, so I'm doing something in my life that really is not working for me. I'm doing this job or the other, and it's like, I really need to change. And we've heard that over and over again. you know, from people in the last 5 to 10 years when everybody has hit the wall, be it, you know, with an earth change or a bank change or whatever it is, everybody's been hitting the wall. And really, I think it's important, you know, to have a few of these rituals to put together in your pieces and say, okay, well, you know, I remember at Thanksgiving, we always talked about the history. Oh, I want to write a story on it. Oh, I want to find out, write a book about it. Well, maybe I want to go back there and learn how to maybe help the kids there, or maybe, you know, all these different things. In other words, you can then open up a conversation and say, what do I want to do for me for the rest of my life?
Yeah, absolutely. And isn't it the case too few people ask that question, what do I want to do for me? So many people today are living in a world where they feel like they have to do for everyone else, particularly women. Many women that we work with and talk with find themselves in this position where they spent their whole lives serving their children or their family and one their husbands in one way or another. And when the children get old enough to leave home, they're kind of left in this vacuum, and for the first time they're asking the question, what do I want to do for me? What's important to me? And that's an important and valuable question to ask, because it comes back to what we were talking about. Those are the kinds of questions that allow you to get aligned with your life's design. And in the book, we talk about the fact that every one of us, by virtue of the fact that we're conscious, we're awake, that we have this core, this transcendental conscious core of ourselves that most people don't spend much time connecting with because the attention is always directed outward. But that core expresses itself through what we mentioned in the book are 5 layers. But the first layer is the layer of bliss. And when you're connected with passion, that's what connects you with that layer of bliss in your own nature. That's the reason when we're connected to things that matter to us, to those things that do help us to feel passionate, then we feel more joy, we feel more excitement, we feel more delight with life, because we're connecting with that part of ourselves which is our connection to the deepest part of us. And this is another aspect of ritual, and particularly ceremonial rituals. In the book, we describe that, as I mentioned, we talk about everyday rituals and ceremonial rituals. Ceremonial rituals in cultures all over the world, we've seen that they have 7 key aspects, ranging from intention to preparation and purification to use of symbolism and activating the senses, repetition, prescribed performance, and invoking the unseen. And all of those elements go in to create an experience which takes us deep within. And if you think about a wedding, you know, a wedding is a ceremonial ritual most of us have participated in at one time or another in our lives.
Right.
And whether it's ourselves or watching someone else, many times we'll see people crying at a wedding. And why is that? They're not crying because they're unhappy most of the time. They're crying because that whole ceremony, that entire ritual, all of those elements, the candles, the music, the beautiful gowns and the great tuxedos and, you know, costumes that all the participants are wearing, that all of these elements go to touch a deep place inside us. And when we touch that place, It takes us to a deeper place than we are usually experiencing in our everyday lives. And that's one of the roles and values of these ceremonial rituals, is to allow us to reconnect with that deep part of ourselves. And that's where meaning lies. That's where that sense of significance and direction in life exists. And so ceremonial rituals provide a great value for that. But again, with the exception of, you know, weddings and a few of these kinds of rituals, they've been largely lost in our society, unfortunately.
Don't you think, too, though, when people start to go within, and no matter what the example, they also run into a wall of fear, because fear of I can do it, I can't do it, it's not what I want, or maybe I have to give up something that was so tightly woven into my being, and now you're asking, you know, this is being more into my core is asking me, do I have to do this, you know? And so many people are saying, I'm fearing this, and I don't know what the fear is, but I can feel it, I can touch it, I can see it, and I can taste it. So really, I think fear is such a powerful thing in making a change.
Yeah, and the way we describe it in Your Hidden Riches is that each of us, that core of ourselves expresses itself through these five layers or these five aspects, and then out through what traditionally in some of the oldest cultures in the world were called four gates. These are things that we're all familiar with, the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual aspects of our nature. And when through a result of our upbringing and the concepts, the beliefs that we have been exposed to through our culture, through our parents, our teachers, our friends, that those gates get fully or partially blocked. And when that happens, then the ability for that innate creativity, that innate intelligence, that organizing power that exists within every single person, that gets blocked. It's not able to express itself fully, and that's where we begin to experience fear. This fear is that disconnection from that ability that every one of us has to be able to live our lives fully in alignment with that design of our life, to be able to access that creativity and intelligence at the core of us. And so rituals again come into play here, because that fear is just the result of old patterns. You know, they're maybe mental or emotional patterns, but they're old patterns. They're old ways of thinking or being. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I've been told works or doesn't work. If I step out the boundaries, I've been taught and told that I could experience a disaster. And if we're going to be able to step out of those boundaries, then it's necessary to create new patterns. And rituals are a way of creating new patterns. When you recognize that a particular way of thinking or reacting to situations is not useful for your life, then by creating a ritual around what you choose your response to be or what you choose your experience to be, and then continuing that on a regular basis, we say for at least 30 days, at least a month. But now you begin to create a new pattern in your life, a new way of responding. And that's how you can create change. That's the way that you can begin to clear away those blocks in those four gates, so that core of you begins to be expressed and without obstruction, without that fear, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it does take a lot of work, you know. Well, it takes a lot of work for many people and not for everyone. But what also your book does is it tells you the steps. You know, you can start from the beginning and take your time. This is not a book that you sit down and you read and, hey, at the end you go, oh, yeah, okay, cool, I got it. My life's going to change tomorrow. This is really about paying attention and looking at your life, where you've been, what you've done, and where you're going or what you might want to do, and then learning about your fears, learning about those challenges in your life, and learning about what is important to you and not important to you, and letting things go. So it's so vitally important at one point in your life to be able to sit down and do that. And this book really is a great asset to be able to help you to do that.
Yeah, thank you for that. And, you know, our intent was to make the book both readable, something that people would enjoy going through and reading through the first time, but also to be a reference that, you know, once you've read through it, to be able to go back. We've included many, many different kinds of rituals within the book that people can use, incorporate, or adapt to their own situations, just for that purpose.
But you have a lot of questions in here, and a lot of question and answers. There's a lot of places that people can write things in. There's practical stories. So it's not just something you would read and you have to just suck it all in and you got it. You know, this is read two or three pages and, you know, really pay attention to what it says and write in your book and answer some of the questions, and you'll get a whole lot deeper understanding, I think.
That's the whole point. You know, our intent and desire is that it wouldn't be a passive reading experience, but it would be an active self-assessment and integrating experience to read our book.
Well, Chris, it was a pleasure to have you with us. We have gone through this hour so quickly. It is past, and I would like to thank you for being on the show. And if you could please share with the listeners your website, how to purchase your book, and if you have anything else on your website you'd like to share, please do.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Jeanette. Thank you for having me here today. And the book is now available in the U.S. and Canada at bookstores, Barnes & Noble, and other booksellers, independent bookstores all over the country. And, of course, the online booksellers as well. Anyone who would like to purchase the book, if you go to thehiddenriches.com/book, thehiddenriches.com/book, when you purchase the book and then forward a copy of your receipt to us, then we have some wonderful gifts for you. We've created a home study course that you'll get free access to, our 30-day ritual challenge that will walk you through the experience of implementing a ritual to make a significant change in your life, and also some great interviews we've done called Rituals of the Rich and Famous with everyone from Jack Canfield, the co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, to J.J. French, one of the founding members of the rock band Twisted Sister, to Mary Morrissey, and many others. So all of those are gifts that we'd be happy to make available to people who want to get a copy of the book now. And thehiddenriches.com, we wanted this to be fun. And so if you go to thehiddenriches.com, you'll find there's a treasure map there. There's also a link at the bottom where you can enter the site. But if you go through the treasure map, you'll see that we provided ways to discover your passions, discover your unique genius, to be able to dive into any area of your life that you feel is most challenging for you right now, whether it may be your relationships or your finances or your career or whatever. So that treasure map is aimed there to give you some guidance on the way to discover your own pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Well, Chris, it's been an absolute pleasure having you with us. Thank you so much for joining us, and maybe you'll come on again with your other book. That would be wonderful.
Well, I look forward to it. Actually, I would encourage you, Dr. Jeanette, to have my ex-wife, business partner, best friend, and now the godmother of my children, to Janet Bray Atwood. She's really amazing talking about the passion test, and I'm sure your listeners would love talking to her.
Great. We'll look forward to that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. If you'd like more information about the book today we are talking about is Your Hidden Riches, Unleashing the Power of Ritual to Create a Life of Meaning and Purpose. The author that was with us today is Chris Atwood. It is a great book. Please do check on the bottom of today's show page for the link directly to that website where you can find out more information, and you'll be able to look right there and just click right on what he said about more information about events and the other books. And also be able to have a great time in finding some tips. And please do send in your receipt, as Chris had said, so you'll be able to experience some of those other wonderful, wonderful gifts that he has available. So thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure having you with us here today on Sedona Talk Radio. And please do check out our website. It is drjeanettegallagher.com. We have a lot of information going out on this Health Blast 2015. And there will also be a members-only group starting in February 1st for women over the age of 50 about having a rockin' holistic life after the age of 50. So it's going to be really great. We are going to talk about all different kinds of things because, you know what, we all didn't come with a manual. And, you know, we're all just going to have fun and say, hey, I never tried that. Hey, I didn't even know what that was. Or I saw that, but I kind of shunned away because I didn't really understand it. So we're going to have a lot of conversations about health, wellness, life, grandkids, men, you never know. So please do join us. And thank you so much for being with us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us. Please check out our link. Thank you, and talk to you again. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It has been a pleasure to be with you, and we hope you found more information that will be able to make your life just a little bit easier. You know, it's not an easy trip all the time in this life, and sometimes we say, you know, if I could just maybe hear it from somebody else, or maybe hear that someone else's story might be similar to mine, or maybe just gain a few extra tips to make my journey a little bit easier. Please join us on Health Blast Radio every day for the year 2015, where we will be having so many different practitioners, all kinds of authors, just regular people like you and I, having a casual conversation about a different topic almost every day. Check out our website for more information on the Women Over Age 50 group. It is drjeannettegallagher.com. You can always just Google my name, Dr. Jeannette Gallagher, and you will find out so much more information about upcoming radio shows, about other websites I have, other programs we are currently doing. And if you just need help, please pick any of the websites, any of the links, and send me a private message. Thank you so much for joining us today on Health Blast Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure, and please, just in the morning, before you reach for that cell phone or the television remote or even your glasses, open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for another day. It's been a pleasure. And have a great day.